Good morning, sir.
Morning.
Could you please state your full name and your ABC number?
Rodrigo Benito Aguilar, Avenida 162.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing, and this is concerning the two allegations that are on your warrant. You were notified about this hearing on August 1st, and you signed a form that day. Do you remember that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. On that form is a list of your hearing rights, and one of those rights is you could hire at your expense an attorney to represent you. Did you hire an attorney today, or will you represent yourself?
I'll represent myself.
Okay, sir. Thank you. I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board, and if you look to your right, so my left, at the other end of the bench for me, is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Next to him is the Honorable David Neal. Right next to me here in the center is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. And my name is Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be the lead for your hearing today. We also have in the room with us the Honorable Mr. Turner, who is with the Department of Corrections. He'll represent the department and your parole officer in the hearing today. So before we start, I need to swear the both of you in. So Mr. Aguilar and Mr. Turner, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Aguilar?
Yes, ma'am.
And Mr. Turner?
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Aguilar, your hearing will be conducted in two phases, with phase one to determine if you violated the terms and conditions of community supervision, and then phase two to determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So to start phase one, I'm going to read each of these two allegations to you, and I need you to respond whether they're true or false. Okay, sir? So we'll start phase one, and the first allegation is that you were in violation of condition 13B, as demonstrated by your failure to remain at your approved residence each night unless prior approval is given to you by your supervising officer on or about July 3rd, 2018. Mr. Aguilar, is that true or false?
True.
That's true? Okay, sir. And then the other allegation is that you were in violation of condition 13L, as demonstrated by your failure to refrain from being alone with or have any form of contact with anyone under the age of 18 without a parent or guardian present, and without prior authorization from your supervising officer on or about July 5th, 2018. Mr. Aguilar, is that true or false?
That's true.
That's true? Okay, sir. Thank you. Then based on Mr. Aguilar's admissions, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of supervision and may have lapsed or have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay, motion by myself, seconded. Mr. Quinones agreed, Dr. Wright, and Mr. Neal. Okay, Mr. Aguilar, we'll move to phase two of your hearing and determine whether your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. But before we get too far, I'm going to ask Mr. Turner to give us all some background information about your case. So just stay on the phone, and we'll be right back with you in a second to talk with you and ask you some questions. Okay, sir?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Turner.
Mr. Aguilar was released from ADC custody on 7-3-2018 and arrested on 7-5-2018 by ADC on exec warrant. No new charges. He's returned back to ADC custody on 7-5-2018 with his CSED of 9-3-2019, zero abscondes. Current conviction, 2001, molestation of a child, 8 years. Prior convictions, 1992, theft, 3 years and 9 months. 1995, theft, 2 years, 6 months. 1997, aggravated assault, 1 year. 1999, flight from law vehicle, 2 years, 3 months. 1999, commitment E, count six, leading an accident with death injury, 1 year. 2001, molestation of a child, 10 years. This is his fifth term in ADC with a CUIR score of 3-3, mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 2. SCG information, he's a suspected member of the criminal street gang Eastside Garfield. Prior terms of supervision, 1997, TIS release, absconded for 11 days, reached CSED in custody. 1998, TIS release, absconded for 17 days, reached CSED in custody. Disciplinary is significant and lengthy with fighting, threatening with harm, rioting, possession of a weapon, assault on an inmate, possession, manufacturing of intoxicants, pointing prison contraband noted. Other arrests, 1990, theft of a vehicle, Arizona juvenile detention. 1991, theft of a vehicle, Arizona juvenile detention. 1991, possession, sell marijuana, Arizona unknown. 1991, drug paraphernalia violation, Arizona unknown. 1991, escape second degree, Arizona unknown. 1991, theft of a vehicle, Arizona unknown. 1991, theft of a vehicle, Arizona unknown. 1991, theft of the vehicle, Arizona juvenile detention. 2001, aggravated DUI, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. He has a GB score of G7V8. He is a registered form notifiable level 3 sex offender.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Okay. All right, so back to you, Mr. Aguilar. We have just a very brief written summary of your supervision. It looks like you were released to the area of 16th Street and Buckeye Road, but it looks like on July 3rd and 4th you stayed at an apartment complex on North 7th Street. And at that time they had not visited and inspected the residence to determine if it was okay and approved for you, sir. Is that true?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So who lives at that address?
My mom, she's my friend, and my sister, I called as a friend too. She should be on there too, on the parole, because she was there as a parole office and everything. And Julie Castillo Chambers, and she's the one that had an apartment in 12, and I was in apartment 11, which mom's, she went over there to live with her husband back on 31st Street in Old. While she moved out, I still had like about a week or 2 weeks in there. Studio, nobody was in, no kids, nothing. It was just me in there. Nobody out.
Oh, so you were just like living in it like the rest of the term that you had paid for?
Yeah, basically.
Okay. But there were no kids and there?
No, there's no kids, nothing. It was just a studio complex right there, you know?
Okay.
And the reason why I didn't want to stay on 60th and Buckeye, just like I heard the, what's his name was talking right now?
Uh-huh.
He was basically saying, hey, remember this and this and that about my history and everything. Well, the majority of those guys from 16th and Buckeye is a neighborhood called ACM, Bottom ACM. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of them throughout the system. Now they want to stay on that corner because falling right into one or someone of them. But they start asking questions, knowing this, and you know, I mean, let's see the GPS on my feet because I was in shorts, you know.
Right.
I was going to risk my life. You see what I'm saying?
No,
I told my parole officer, hey, send me the mace or send me somewhere else. But if you put me on 16th and Buckeye, that's gang affiliation well known within the Mexican mafia.
Okay, so.
I've been in the system. So if they see me, what am I going to do, to sit there and just take it? No, I wasn't. You know, I'm running around running out there in the streets, cutting my GPS, catching another felony, and coming to commit another crime, which I ain't trying to. I heard him read my history. That's a history right there. I know it is. I was on probation for violating my probation to come back to on this term right now. I was on probation for 11 months. That's a long time for me to be on probation to try. I've been in an institution, like you said, all the sauce, this and that. For the last 4 years right now, I only got one, two tickets, and they're all minors. I've been working in the kitchen, I've participated, I put an AA, NA, I think you recorded it. I've been programming. I want to do this. Even though you guys don't give me this, I appreciate it. You give me this, but if you don't, I'm still going to program. I'm still going to do it. Because I've got 11 months to do it, and after I get out, I'm going to do what I need to do to get my life changed. Even if I got to go to Colorado and work in the oil rigs, where they pay you a lot, they pay for your rent, whatever. But I'm going to find something. I'm not going to let individuals talk bad about me or dump me from my past, because that's the past. I'm moving forward.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, sir. I'm glad to hear your programming. That sounds excellent. Have you in the past, or it looks like at some point you had some involvement with drugs, have you had drug problems in your life, sir?
Yes, I have, throughout my family, you know what I mean? I know you're in a little town by Guadalupe, P10P.
Mm-hmm.
I was born and raised over there as a kid, so you know it's drug infested over there.
Right.
It's around the Mexican mafia. Mm-hmm. I left that. My mom left that neighborhood, but I still got kind of been it.
Okay.
But now, for the last 3 years, man, I probably have one dirty way into all my years being in prison. So I've been trying. It's just I get caught up within the system of inmates who participate within their confrontation and conflicts and their politics.
Right.
That's the only thing I have problems with. But other than that, I've been programmed.
So you consider your drug problem in the past? I mean, you don't use drugs anymore?
No, I haven't. No, be around once in a while. I'll get a hooch, which is, you know, a beer in prison, it's a hooch. I'll drink one here and there, but I don't make a habit of walking high a day or one or trying to chase it. I'm too busy working in the kitchen, programming, doing hobby craft, doing my SMI. Just like when I got out this time, I went straight to terrorists. They can't pick me up. I filed all my paperwork. I did everything I was supposed to do. They told me, Abner, this is what we're going to do for you. We're going to put you in these programs. We're going to get you this. We're going to get you anger management. We're going to start getting you comfort ventures like you're really in prison. And like I said, my PO said, you're going to send a 16-month bug guy. I said, you're just putting me to die, basically.
Okay.
Because of the gang members over there.
Right.
At 5 o'clock, the parole office closes. 5 o'clock, the parole office is closed. After that, you know what's going on at night. The cops don't know because they're not over surveillance.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Because they're busy on other things or busy doing something. But at the same time, they don't put me on the middle of the street. I've been locked up for 7.5 years with confinement around me and everything. You guys are going to throw me out there in the middle of nowhere? Right there in the middle of the desert, basically?
Sir, do you have other family besides, like in Mesa or Glendale or somewhere far? Do you have other places you could go in those areas or not really?
I just went through this packet right now, and it's called Orchid Tree, something in Mesa or something like that, where they accept you for 190 days for SOs and everything. And I stay there until my social security starts kicking in, or I find some kind of a job that I've been looking through, like working for Coca-Cola or something that accepts sex offenders. And I'm willing to do that.
Okay, and so the place that you mentioned, the Orchid Tree, that does accept sex offenders?
Yeah, there's a lot of them that can say, but I can't do it right now. I have to walk out and
exactly.
Not play to it.
Yeah, I get that. Okay, so.
When I was out in Bella before I got out, and I forget his name, I told him the same thing, though, man. I'm going to get out and do this. Well, he called him, and he was supposed to set up a schedule for this other, I think it was a halfway house in Chandler. And he never did it. My poor officers were there telling me, well, I'll be in detention, this, and that. But just stay on 16th Street and Buck right now. I'm like, come on, man. Mm-hmm. You're literally just trying to put me on blast. You know,
okay. So let me see if my fellow board members have any questions. Anyone have a question for Mr. Neal? Okay, yes, sir. Mr. Neal has a question for you.
Okay. It seemed like the PO, in an effort to try to figure out where you're at and where you stand, your GPS showed you stayed in two nights apartment complex on 7th Street, but they don't know which apartment, so they couldn't check it for children. But you were at least two locations with your family with minors in the house. And I just don't understand how, with what you're saying about your concern to do everything right, that you would do that. You could have been, you could have stayed homeless at a different location, even though you didn't have permission. But you chose to go somewhere where there were minor children, which is a very major violation of your terms and conditions of release. I have one other question, sir, about this is a real question. After you're done with your sentence, your parole, everything, when all that's done, do you have lifetime probation?
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing.
So, when you said you did 11 months probation, you got out on probation without a lifetime probation, and then you violated so that you could do your time in prison, and then you wouldn't have a lifetime probation? That's the pretty common practice these days with sex offenders.
Yeah, I mean, okay. That's basically what they're doing. The judge, see, I was trying, and the judge, that's why he sent me to 8 years instead of 15 or 20, that's what the prosecutor was trying to give me.
Okay.
The judge, see, I'm going to give you 8 years. The simple fact, because I was trying, I was going to the program, I was taking classes, I was trying to, I was sitting on the corner flipping a sign for a smoke shop and sitting in the corner, you know, just out there flipping a sign, which I've never had a job in my life. So finally my POs kept telling me, you can't stay here, you can't stay there, or I want you to go through this. GPS went off one time, not on purpose, but it went off on me, and she went to fight me, you know, things like that. So basically the judge says, you know, I'm tired of this, I'm going to send you to prison, just get this off the way. Good luck in your life, and hope you do good. And that was it. And after this, September 3rd, I get my number, I'm done. I can go to Colorado, I can go to Chicago, just get out of here, you know? Find something to do. But I'm not going to give up. It's not in me. I used to hate people saying, you're going to make it, you're going to do this, or you're dopey, mean, you're a thug member, I'm tired of it, I want to do something for me.
Okay, well, you realize even though you don't have the lifetime probation, that you're still a registered sex offender for the rest of your life? And if you don't do that, and then don't follow those rules, which are really strict, you'll be back in prison and they sentence you on separate, but it doesn't make the registration go away like you can do with probation. Okay, no further questions, thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Sir, Mr. Turner has some information to add.
Yeah, just to, for the record, a quick thing. The defendant was released on 7/3/2018 and transported to the electronic monitoring unit as homeless. So he didn't put in to go anywhere, so he was released homeless. During the intake, the offender was released, I'm going to read just a snippet. Offender was released from prison without a pre-approved placement. The offender proved to secure residence today by 1600 hours, or he will reside homeless in the area of 16th Street in Buckeye Road, Phoenix, Arizona. So he's aware that he needed to secure residency, or that's where he would be staying. 2 days later, on 7/5, which is when I believe he was arrested, offender was observed in the field by SPO Florida and PO Adams with a minor. The offender also admitted to having contact with his minor nieces and nephews the past few days. Offender is a registrable sex offender where DCAC was cited, so this dangerous crimes against children. The offender was conditioned not to have any contact with any minors while on supervision.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Turner. Back to you, Mr. Aguilar. We're coming toward the end of your hearing, but I want to give you the opportunity. Is there anything else you thought of that the board should know when we make our decision? Give you the opportunity to state that.
I mean, like I said, you know, I get out September 3rd, and right. I appreciate you looking at me, you can take into consideration to see me and everything, but no matter what, I'm still going to be doing what I have to do. I know I'm going to mess up. I know I had a deal, I could not be around my nephews and nieces, you know, some of them were 17, 18, you know, 25, but they're all youngsters, you know what I mean? They all grew up already, I'm home already, you know what I mean? They're already old. And I'm not using that as an excuse to say I'm going to go see them. 7.5 years, I really was going to violate me. I didn't touch them, I didn't do nothing like that. I just, you know, just seen them from a distance, and that was it, and I just see my family. After 7.5 years, no visit or anything, I was grateful to have barbecue right there for July to see my family. My mom passed away, my sister just got passed away. So that right there would make a road to me. And then I can wait for another 11 months to go out there and see them again. You know what I mean? But then this time, it's going to be different.
All right.
It's still going to be your conditions. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mr. Aguilar. Mr. Aguilar, the board's going to go into discussion and we'll make a decision. We just ask that you remain on the phone and just remain silent and we'll be right back with you. Okay? So the board is now in discussion. Mr. Aguilar is admits that he would have extreme difficulty living at 16th Street and Buckeye, and I certainly understand his reasons. And he also admits that he saw his family, and he's grateful that he was able to see his family on July 4th. Unfortunately, there were minors present, which is a violation of his conditions. Just given all of the circumstances, that includes his difficulty in finding a place to live where he'll be safe, I'm thinking the best thing for him is just to stay where he is and kill his number in 11 months, as he said. But I'd listen to anything else. Any other ideas and thoughts from board members? Okay, all right. Then based on information in Ward 2018-W1937, or conversation with Mr. Aguilar, information provided by Mr. Turner, I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Aguilar was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of the supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company, specifically by violating the condition that he not be in the presence of minors while on community supervision.
Second. Agreed.
Okay, motion by myself, seconded. Ms. Camille, agree. Dr. Wright, and Mr. Quiñones. Okay, Mr. Aguilar, just, you know, considering all the factors of the case, the fact that you can't live at 16th Street in Buckeye. I mean, we totally get that. We understand your reasons, but just considering everything, including your safety, the public safety, and all this, the circumstances in this case, sir, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. That'll give you the 11 months. When you get done with that, you'll have no parole officer, you'll have no further obligation to the Arizona criminal justice system, and you can, other than the sex offender registration, and you can move anywhere you want to go and be totally free. So, sir, we wish you the best. You have a long record, a long criminal record. We hope this is your last. We hope we never see you again. Not that we don't like you, but we hope to never see you in orange again, sir.
Yeah, okay.
So thank you so much. We wish you the best, and keep programming.
See you.
All right, thanks so much. Your hearing's concluded. Right, would you give the phone back to the CO3, or just lay it down rather than hang it up?
Okay,
thank you, sir.
Okay.